2983, verse 20. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a sepulchre from the sons of Heth. The field and the cave that is therein signifies the church and its faith, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a sepulchre, signifies that it was from the Lord alone through regeneration. From the sons of Heth signifies that it was of the Gentiles. 2984. The field and the cave that is therein, that this signifies the church and its faith, is evident from the signification of a field as being the church. See above, number 2969, 2971. And from the signification of a cave as being faith. See number 2935, 2971. It is said the church and its faith, because the church is so called from the good of charity and thus of life, and its faith is so called from the truth that is adjoined to that good. 2985. Were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a sepulchre, that this signifies that it was from the Lord alone through regeneration, is evident from the representation of Abraham as being the Lord, often shown before, and from the signification of a possession as being his, and thus belonging to the Lord alone. See above, number 2974. And from the signification of a sepulchre as being regeneration. See above, number 2916. 2986. From the sons of Heth. That this signifies that it was a church from the Gentiles is evident from the signification of the sons of Heth. The sons of Heth were not those with whom the church was set up anew, but are those by whom the church is represented, for all things in the word are representative. And they do not signify the persons who are named, but through them things of the Lord's kingdom and church. That by the sons of Heth is signified a new church, or what is the same, those who are of the new church, has been stated above repeatedly. But that it was a new church of the Gentiles, or from the Gentiles, is plain from what was said by Abraham to the sons of Heth. I am a sojourner and a dweller with you. Verse 4. By which is signified that the Lord was not known to them, but still that he could be with them. Number 29:15. From this it is plain that by the sons of Heth is signified a church from the Gentiles, for it cannot be said of others that the Lord is unknown to them. Be it known further that when any church becomes no church, that is, when charity perishes and a new church is being set up again by the Lord, this is effected rarely if ever with those with whom the old church has been, but with those with whom there was no church before, that is, with the Gentiles. So was it done when the most ancient church perished, for then the new church called Noah, that is, the ancient church which was after the flood, was set up among the Gentiles, that is, among those where there was no church before. So, too, when this church perished, then a semblance of a church was instituted among the posterity of Abraham from Jacob, thus likewise among the Gentiles. For Abraham, when called, was a Gentile. See number 1356, 1992, 2559. And Jacob's posterity in Egypt became still more Gentile, even to such an extent that they were absolutely ignorant of Yahweh, and consequently of all divine worship. After this church had been consummated, the primitive church was set up from the Gentiles, the Jews being rejected. So too will it be with this church, which is called Christian. The reason why a new church will be set up by the Lord among the Gentiles is that they have no principles of falsity contrary to the truths of faith, for they are ignorant of these truths. Principles of falsity imbued from infancy and afterwards confirmed must be shaken off before the man can be regenerated and become a church. In fact, the Gentiles cannot by evils of life profane holy things, For no one can profane what is holy who knows not what it is. Number 593, 1008, 1010, 1059. As the Gentiles are in ignorance and are free from stumbling blocks, they are in a better state for the reception of truths than those who are of the church. And all those among them who are in the good of life receive truths easily. Concerning these things, see number 932, 1032, 1059, 1327, 1328, 1366, 2049, 2051, 2589 to 2604. Concerning representations and correspondences, 2987. Few know what representations and correspondences are, nor can anyone know this unless he knows that there is a spiritual world, and this distinct from the natural world. For there exists a correspondence between spiritual things and natural things, and the things that come forth from spiritual things in natural ones are representations. They are called correspondences because they correspond, and representations because they represent. 2988. That some idea may be formed of representations and correspondences, it is only necessary to reflect on the things of the mind, that is, of the thought and will. These things so beam forth from the face that they are manifest in its expression. Especially is this the case with the affections, the more interior of which are seen from and in the eyes. When the things of the face act as a one with those of the mind, they are said to correspond and are correspondences, and the very expressions of the face represent and are representations. The case is similar with all that is expressed by the gestures of the body and with all the acts produced by the muscles. For it is well known that all these take place according to what the man is thinking and willing. The gestures and actions themselves, which are of the body, represent the things of the mind and are representations. And in that they are in agreement, they are correspondences. 2989. It may also be known that such forms do not exist in the mind as are exhibited in the expression, but that they are merely affections which are thus effigied. Also that such acts do not exist in the mind as are exhibited by the acts of the body, but that it is the thoughts which are thus figured. The things which are of the mind are spiritual, but those of the body are natural. From this it is evident that there exists a correspondence between spiritual things and natural things, and that there is a representation of spiritual things in natural things, or what is the same, when the things of the internal man are effigied in the external man, then the things that appear in the external man are representative of the internal man, and the things that agree are correspondences. 2990. It is also known, or may be known, that there is a spiritual world and also a natural world. In the universal sense, the spiritual world is where spirits and angels dwell, and the natural world is where men dwell. In particular, there is a spiritual world and a natural world with every man, his internal man being to him a spiritual world, and his external man being to him a natural world. The things that flow in from the spiritual world and are presented in the natural world are in general representations, and in so far as they agree, they are correspondences. 2991. That natural things represent spiritual things and that they correspond may also be known from the fact that what is natural cannot possibly come forth except from a cause prior to itself. Its cause is from what is spiritual, and there is nothing natural which does not thence derive its cause. Natural forms are effects, nor can they appear as causes, still less as causes of causes or beginnings. But they receive their forms according to the use and the place where they are, and yet the forms of the effects represent the things which are of the causes, and indeed these latter things represent those which are of the beginnings. Thus all natural things represent those which are of the spiritual things to which they correspond. And in fact, the spiritual things also represent those which are of the celestial things from which they are. 2992. It has been given me to know from much experience that in the natural world and its three kingdoms there is nothing whatever that does not represent something in the spiritual world, or that has not something there to which it corresponds. Besides many other experiences, this was made evident also from the following. On several occasions, when I was speaking of the viscera of the body, and was tracing their connection from those which are of the head to those which are of the chest, and so on to those which are of the abdomen, the angels that were above me led my thoughts through the spiritual things to which those viscera correspond, and this so that there was not the least error. They thought not at all of the viscera of the body, of which I was thinking, but only of the spiritual things to which these correspond. Such is the intelligence of angels, that from spiritual things they know all things in the body in general and particular, even the most secret things, such as can never come to man's cognition. Nay, they know everything there is in the universal world without a mistake. And this because from spiritual things are the causes and the beginnings of causes. 2993. The case is similar with the things in the vegetable kingdom, for nothing whatever exists there that does not represent something in the spiritual world and correspond thereto, as has been frequently given me to know by a like intercourse with angels. The causes also have been told me, namely, that the causes of all natural things are from spiritual things, and the beginnings of these causes are from celestial things, or, what is the same, all things in the natural world derive their cause from truth, which is the spiritual, and their beginning from good, which is the celestial. And natural things proceed thence according to all the differences of truth and of good in the Lord's kingdom, thus from the Lord himself, from whom is all good and truth. These things must needs appear strange, especially to those who will not or cannot ascend in thought beyond nature, and who do not know what the spiritual is, and therefore do not acknowledge it. 2994. So long as he lives in the body, man can feel and perceive but little of this, for the celestial and spiritual things with him fall into the natural things in his external man, and he there loses the sensation and perception of them. Moreover, the representatives and correspondences in his external man are such that they do not appear like the things in the internal man to which they correspond and which they represent. Therefore, neither can they come to his cognition until he has put off those external things. When this happens, blessed is the man who is in correspondence, that is, whose external man corresponds to his internal man. 2995. As the men of the most ancient church, concerning whom, see number 1114 to 1125, in everything of nature saw something spiritual and celestial, insomuch that natural things served them merely as objects for thought about spiritual and celestial things, they were for this reason able to speak with angels, and to be with them in the Lord's kingdom in the heavens at the same time that they were in his kingdom on earth, that is, in the church. Thus with them natural things were conjoined with spiritual things, and wholly corresponded. But it was otherwise after those times, when evil and falsity began to reign, that is, when after the Golden Age there commenced the Iron Age. For then, as there was no longer any correspondence, heaven was closed, insomuch that men were scarcely willing to know that there was anything spiritual, and at last even that there is a heaven and a hell, and a life after death. 2996. In this world it is a great secret, although in the other life nothing is better known to every spirit, that all things in the human body have a correspondence to those in heaven, insomuch that there is not the smallest particle in the body to which something spiritual and celestial does not correspond, or what is the same, to which celestial societies do not correspond, for these exist according to all the genera and species of spiritual and celestial things, and this in such an order that together they represent one man, even as to all his parts, in general and in particular, both the interior and the exterior. Hence it is that the universal heaven is also called the grand man. And hence it is that it has been so often said that one society belongs to one province of the body, another to another, and so on. The reason is that the Lord is the only man, and heaven represents him, and the divine good and truth that are from him are what make heaven. And because the angels are therein, they are said to be in the Lord. But they who are in hell are outside this grand man, and correspond to things unclean, and also to bodily corruptions. 2997. This may also in some degree be known from the fact that the spiritual or internal man, which is man's spirit and is called his soul, has in like manner a correspondence to his natural or external man, and that this correspondence is of such a nature that the things of the internal man are spiritual and celestial, while the things of the external man are natural and corporeal, as may appear from what was said above, number 2988-2989, about the expressions of the face and the acts of the body. Moreover, as to his internal man, man is a little heaven, because created after the Lord's image. 2998. That such correspondences exist has become so familiar to me in the course of years that hardly anything can be more so, though the fact itself is such that man does not know of its existence, nor believes that he has any connection with the spiritual world, when yet all his connection is from this correspondence, and without this connection neither himself nor any part of him could subsist a moment, for all his subsistence is from it. It has also been given me to know what angelic societies belong to each province of the body, and also of what quality they are. As, for instance, what societies and of what quality belong to the province of the heart? What and of what quality to the province of the lungs? What and of what quality to the province of the liver? And also what and of what quality belong to the different sensories, as to the eye, to the ears, to the tongue, and the rest? Concerning which, of the Lord's divine mercy, we shall speak singly. 2999. Moreover, nothing is possible in the created world that has not a correspondence to the things in the spiritual world, and therefore that does not in its own manner represent something in the Lord's kingdom. From this comes the existence and subsistence of all things. If man knew how these things were circumstanced, he would never, as is his wont, attribute all things to nature. 3000. Hence it is that all things in the universe, both in general and in particular, represent the Lord's kingdom, insomuch that the universe, with all its constellations, atmospheres, and three kingdoms, is nothing else than a kind of theatre representative of the Lord's glory which is in the heavens. In the animal kingdom, not only man, but also each particular animal, even the least and lowest, is representative. As, for instance, the little creatures that creep on the ground and feed on plants, these, when their time for wedding is at hand, become chrysalises, and presently, being supplied with wings, they soar from the ground into the atmosphere, their heaven, and there enjoy their delight and their freedom, sporting together and feeding on the spoils of the flowers, laying their eggs and thus providing for a posterity. And being then in their state of heaven, they are also in their beauty. Everyone can see that these things are representative of the Lord's kingdom. 3001. That there is one only life, that of the Lord, which flows in and causes man to live, whether he be good or evil, is evident from what has been said and shown above in the explication of the word. Number 1954, 2021, 2536, 2658, 2706, 2886, or 2889. To that life correspond the recipient things which are vivified by that divine influx, and this in such a manner that they appear to themselves to live from themselves. This correspondence is that of life with the recipients of life. Such as are the recipients, so they live. Those men who are in love and charity are in correspondence, for they are in agreement, and the life is received by them adequately. But those who are in things contrary to love and charity are not in correspondence, because the life itself is not received adequately. Hence they have an appearance of life in accordance with their quality. This may be illustrated by many things, as by the organs of motion and of sense in the body, into which the life flows through the soul. According to the qualities of these, such are their actions and sensations. The same may be illustrated also by the objects into which light flows from the sun, the light producing colorings according to the quality of the recipient forms. But in the spiritual world, all the modifications that come into existence from the influx of life are spiritual. Whence come such differences of intelligence and wisdom? 3002. From this also we can see how all natural forms, both animate and inanimate, are representative of spiritual and celestial things in the Lord's kingdom. That is, that in nature all things in both general and particular are representative in accordance with the measure and quality of their correspondence. 3003. The subject of representations and correspondences will be continued at the close of the following chapter. Chapter the 24th, 3004. That the deepest arcana lie concealed in the internal sense of the word, which have heretofore come to no one's cognition, may appear from what has been already said and shown, and also from what of the Lord's divine mercy will be shown in the following pages. The same can be very plainly seen from the internal sense of the two names of our Lord, Jesus Christ. When these names are used, few have any other idea than that they are proper names and almost like the names of any other man, but more holy. The more learned indeed are aware that Jesus signifies Savior, and that Christ means anointed. And from this they conceive some interior idea. But still these are not the things the angels in heaven perceive from the names in question. The things they perceive are still more divine. By the name Jesus, when named by a man who is reading the word, the angels perceive divine good, and by Christ, divine truth, and by the two names, the divine marriage of good and truth and good. Thus the whole divine in the celestial marriage, which is heaven. What the celestial marriage is may be seen above, number 2173-2803. 3005. That Jesus in the internal sense is divine good, and that Christ is divine truth, may be seen from many things in the word. That Jesus is divine good comes from the fact that Jesus means safety, salvation, and Savior. And because it means these, it signifies the divine good. For all salvation is from the divine good, which is of the Lord's love and mercy, and thus is affected by the reception of that good. That Christ is divine truth comes from the fact that the name means Messiah, anointed, and King. And that these names signify the divine truth will be evident from what follows. 3006. These are the things the angels perceive when Jesus Christ is named, and this is what is meant when it is said that there is salvation in no other name, as also by the Lord so often speaking of his name, as in John, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." 14, verse 13. In the same, "These things are written, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name." 20, verse 31. And in other places, that the name is all in one complex by which the Lord is worshipped, and thus denotes the quality of all worship and doctrine, may be seen above, number 2724. And therefore here it denotes the good of love and of charity conjoined with the truth of faith, which is the complex of all doctrine and of all worship. 3007. That Christ is the same as Messiah, anointed, and King, and that these names are the same as the divine truth, may be seen from what now follows. 3008. First, that Christ is the same as Messiah, anointed, and King, is evident from the following passages in the Word. In John, Andrew findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. 1, verse 41. In the same, many of the multitude, when they heard the word, said, "This is of a truth the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But others said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Doth not the scripture say that the Christ cometh of the seed of David and from Bethlehem, the town where David was?" 7, verses 40 to 42. The Christ here plainly means the Messiah whom they expected. In the same, have the rulers then indeed known that this is truly the Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when the Christ cometh, no one knoweth whence he is. 7, verses 26 and 27. The Christ denotes the Messiah. That no one would know whence he is was because he would not be acknowledged. In the same, the Jews came round about Jesus and said unto him, "How long dost thou hold our soul in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, but ye believe not." 10, verses 24 and 25. Here also the Christ denotes the Messiah whom they expected. In the same, the multitude answered, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ abideth forever." 12, verse 34, the Christ meaning the Messiah. In the same, Martha said, "I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." 11, verse 27. That is, that he was the Messiah. In Luke, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and to him was the answer made by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. 2, verses 25 and 26. Meaning that he should see the Messiah or the anointed of Yahuwah. In the same, Jesus said to the disciples, "But who say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." 9, verse 20, Mark 8, verse 29. See also other passages as Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64, John 6, verses 68 and 69, Mark 14, verses 61 and 62. Now as Christ and Messiah are the same, and as Christ in the Greek and Messiah in the Hebrew signify the anointed, it is evident that Christ is the same as the anointed, and likewise the same as King, for kings in general were called the anointed, as is evident from the historic and prophetic parts of the word in many passages. As in David, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers took counsel together, against Yahuwah and against his anointed." Psalm 2, verse 2. Again, "Now know I that Yahuwah saveth his anointed. He will answer him from the heavens of his holiness, in the powers of the salvation of his right hand." Psalm 20, verse 6. Again, "Yahuwah is their strength, and a stronghold of salvations to his anointed." Psalm 28, verse 8. In Samuel, "Yahuwah will give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." First Book of Samuel 2, verse 10. In these and many other passages, the anointed denotes the king. In the original language, the reading is Messiah. In these prophetic utterances, the Lord is treated of in the internal sense, and that he is the king is also plain from passages in the New Testament. As in Matthew, the governor asked Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." 27, verse 11. And in Luke, Pilate asked Jesus, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering him said, "Thou sayest." 23, verse 3, Mark 15, verse 2. And in John, they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." 12, verse 13. And again, Nathanael said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." 1, verse 49. 3009. Second, that Messiah, anointed, and king are the same as the divine truth is evident from very many passages in the Word, and has been shown several times in the explications, as in Numbers 16:72, 17:28, 20:15, 20:69, and the Lord himself so teaches in John. Pilate said unto Jesus, "Art thou not a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one who is of the truth heareth my voice." 18, verse 37. It is evident from this that it is the divine truth itself from which the Lord was called king. That kings were anointed, and were therefore called the anointed, was because the oil with which they were anointed signified good, number 886, 2832, denoting that the truth signified by a king was from good, consequently was the truth of good. And thus that the royal office with kings might represent the Lord as to the divine truth, which is from divine good, and thus the divine marriage of good in truth, while the priestly office represented the divine marriage of truth in good. The latter is signified by Jesus, the former by Christ. 3010. Hence it is evident what is signified by the Christs in Matthew. "See that no man seduce you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall seduce many. Then if any one shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." 24, verses 4, 5, 23, and 24. Mark 13, verses 21 and 22. Hereby false Christs are signified truths not divine, or falsities, and by false prophets those who teach them. Number 25, 34. And again, "Be not ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." 23, verse 10. Christ denotes truth divine. Hence it is evident what a Christian is, namely one who is in the truth from God. 3011. From what has been said, it may be seen what hidden things the Word has stored within it, which can by no means come to anyone's cognition, except from the internal sense. Chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham, being old, was come into days, and Yahuwah blessed Abraham in all things. 2. And Abraham said unto his servant, the elder of his house, who administered all that he had, Put, I pray, thy hand under my thigh. 3. And I will make thee swear by Yahuwah, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a woman for my son of the daughters of the Canaanite, in the midst of whom I dwell. 4. But thou shalt go unto my land and to my nativity, and take a woman for my son, for Isaac. 5. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Shall I bring back thy son unto the land whence thou camest out? 6. And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not back my son thither. 7. Yahuwah, the God of heaven, that took me from my father's house and from the land of my nativity, and that spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a woman for my son from thence. 8. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this mine oath. Only thou shalt not bring back my son thither. 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his lord, and swear to him concerning this word. 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his lord, and departed, and every good of his lord was in his hand. And he arose, and went to Aram Naharaim, under the city of Nahor. 11. And he made the camels kneel down, without the city, by the well of waters, about the time of evening, about the time the drawers go out. 12. And he said, O Yahuwah, God of my lord Abraham, cause to meet, I pray, before me this day, and do mercy with my lord Abraham. 13. Behold, I stand by the fountain of waters, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw waters. 14. And let it come to pass, that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Her hast thou appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast done mercy with my lord. 15. And it came to pass, that scarcely had he done speaking, when, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. 16. And the damsel was exceedingly good to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the fountain, and filled her pitcher, and came up. 17. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray, sip a little water from thy pitcher. 18. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and made him drink. 19. And she finished making him drink, and she said, I will draw for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. 20. And she hasted, and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw, and drew for all his camels. 21. And the man, marveling at her, withheld himself, to know whether Yahuwah had prospered his way or not. 22. And it came to pass, when the camels had done drinking, that the man took a jewel of gold of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands, 10 of gold their weight. 23. And he said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray, is there room in thy father's house for us to pass the night? 24. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bare unto Nahor. 25. And she said unto him, We have both straw and much provender, also room to pass the night. 26. And the man bent himself and bowed himself down to Yahuwah. 27. And he said, Blessed be Yahuwah, the God of my lord Abraham, who hath not forsaken his mercy and his truth from my lord. I being in the way, Yahuwah hath led me to the house of my lord's brethren. 28. And the damsel ran and told her mother's house according to these words. 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out of doors unto the man, unto the fountain. 30. And it came to pass, when he saw the jewel and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the fountain. 31. And he said, Come, thou blessed of Yahuwah, wherefore standest thou without? For I have swept the house, and there is room for the camels. 32. And the man came into the house, and loosed the camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men that were with him. 33. And there was set before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have spoken my words. And he said, Speak. 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. 35. And Yahuwah hath blessed my lord exceedingly, and hath made him great, and hath given him flock and herd, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants, and camels and asses. 36. And Sarah, my lord's wife, bare a son to my lord after she was old, and he hath given unto him all that he hath. 37. And my lord made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a woman for my son of the daughters of the Canaanite, in whose land I dwell. 38. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my family, and take a woman for my son. 39. And I said unto my lord, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. 40. And he said unto me, Yahuwah, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a woman for my son from my family, and from my father's house. 41. Then shalt thou be clear from my oath, when thou comest to my family. And if they give not to thee, thou shalt be clear from my oath. 42. And I came this day unto the fountain, and said, O Yahuwah, God of my lord Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way wherein I do walk. 43. Behold, I stand by the fountain of waters. And let it come to pass, that the maiden which cometh forth to draw, and to whom I shall say, Let me drink, I pray, a little water from thy pitcher. 44. And she shall say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let her be the woman whom Yahuwah hath appointed for my lord's son. 45. I scarcely had done speaking in mine heart, when, behold, Rebekah came forth, and her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the fountain and drew. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray. 46. And she made haste, and let down her pitcher from upon her, and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And I drank, and she gave drink to the camels also. 47. And I asked her, and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the jewel upon her nose, and the bracelets upon her hands. 48. And I bent and bowed myself down to Yehowah, and blessed Yehowah, God of my lord Abraham, who led me into the way of truth, to take the daughter of my lord's brother for his son. 49. And now, if ye will do mercy and truth with my lord, tell me, and if not, tell me, and I will look to the right hand or to the left. 50. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The word hath gone forth from Yehowah. We cannot speak unto thee evil or good. 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be the woman of thy lord's son, as Yehowah hath spoken. 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself down to the earth unto Yehowah. 53. And the servant brought forth vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments, and gave to Rebekah. He gave also precious things to her brother and to her mother. 54. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and they passed the night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my lord. 55. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us days, at least 10. Afterwards thou shalt go. 56. And he said unto them, Do not delay me, and Yehowah hath prospered my way. Send me away, and I will go to my lord. 57. And they said, Let us call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. 58. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. 59. And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. 60. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Our sister, be thou for thousands of 10,000s, and may thy seed inherit the gate of those that hate thee. 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went away. 62. And Isaac came from coming from Beer Lahairoi, and he dwelt in the land of the south. 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac, and she alighted from off the camel. 65. And she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my lord. And she took a veil and covered herself. 66. And the servant told Isaac all the words that he had done. 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she was to him for a woman, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother. The contents. 3012. In the internal sense, there is described the whole process of the conjunction of truth with good in the Lord's divine rational. In this chapter, the process of initiation which precedes conjunction. Isaac is the good of the rational, Rebekah here is truth to be initiated into good. Laban is the affection of good in the natural man. 3013. In the internal sense, the process of initiation is thus described. When the state was prepared, and all things had been reduced by the Lord into divine celestial order, so that divine truth might be conjoined with the divine good of his rational, and this by the common way from the natural man, that is, from the scientifics, cognitions, and doctrinal things therein, then by the Lord's divine influx, truths were called forth thence, were initiated into good and the rational, and were made divine. Thus was the rational made divine by the Lord in respect to truth as well as in respect to good. 3014. From this chapter and from those which follow, it may be seen what arcana are contained in the internal sense of the word. The internal sense. 3015, verse 1. And Abraham, being old, was come into days, and Yahuwah blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham, being old, was come into days, signifies when the state was at hand that the Lord's human should be made divine. And Yahuwah blessed Abraham in all things, signifies when all things were disposed by the Lord into divine order. 3016. Abraham, being old, was come into days. That this signifies when the state was at hand that the Lord's human should be made divine is evident from the representation of Abraham as being the Lord. See number 1893, 1965, 1989, 2011, 2172, 2198, 2501, 2833, 2836, and many other places. And from the signification of old and of old age, as being to put off what is human and to put on what is celestial. See number 1854, 2198. And when predicated of the Lord, as being to put on the divine. The same is evident also from the signification of day as being state. See number 23, 487, 488, 493, 893, 2788. And hence from the signification of coming into days as being when the state was at hand. Such things are signified by old and coming into days for the reason that the angels have no idea of old age or of the advancing age which is meant by coming into days, but an idea of state in regard to the life in which they are. And therefore when mention is made in the word of advancement in age and of old age, the angels who are with man can have no other idea than of the state of life in which the persons are, and in which men are while passing through their ages even to the last, namely that they thus excessively put off what is human and put on what is celestial. For human life, from infancy to old age, is nothing else than a progression from the world to heaven, and the last age, which is death, is the transition itself. Therefore, burial is resurrection, because it is a complete putting off. See number 2916, 2917. As the angels are in such an idea, nothing else can be signified by coming into days and by old age, in the internal sense which is principally for angels and for men who are angelic minds. 3017. And Yahuwah blessed Abraham in all things. That this signifies when all things were disposed by the Lord into divine order, or what is the same, when the Lord had disposed all things into divine order, is evident from the fact that Yahuwah is the Lord as to the divine itself. See number 1343, 1736, 1815, 2004, 2005, 2018, 2025, 2921, and that in this case Abraham represents the Lord as to the divine human, number 2833, 2836. And therefore when it is said that Yahuwah blessed Abraham in all things, in the internal sense is meant that the Lord from the divine itself in his human disposed all things into divine order. For to bless, when said of the Lord's human, signifies these things. For to be blessed, when predicated of man, means to be enriched with spiritual and celestial good. See number 891, 1096, 1420, 1422. And he is enriched with it when the things in him are disposed by the Lord into spiritual and celestial order, thus into the image and likeness of divine order. Number 1475. The regeneration of man being nothing else. But what is meant when it is said that all things were disposed by the Lord into divine order in his human is evident from what follows in this chapter. Namely, that his divine rational, represented by Isaac, which was conceived from the divine good, represented by Abraham, and was born of the divine truth, represented by Sarah, was now disposed into such divine order that divine truths from the human itself could be conjoined with it. These are the arcana contained in this chapter in the internal sense, concerning which the angels have clear light from the Lord. For in the light of heaven these things are open as in clear day, whereas in the light of the world in which man is, scarcely anything is so, except something in an obscure manner with one who is regenerate, for he also is in some light of heaven.